This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This afternoon, an update on a number of topics related to Douglas County government. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, we wanted to cover several things and just periodically get one of the commissioners in because there's always things going on that sometimes get some attention, but we want to look at some areas that maybe could get additional attention here in the format of this program. A couple weeks back, you put out a release about the County War Memorial and getting a grant for that. It's located right in front of the courthouse in, surprisingly, to some extent, not everybody even knows it's there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot on the campus there of the courthouse under our big tree. It's something that was put in way back in 1971. There's been at least one fairly major remodel, and it's just time to be updated. So the Douglas County Veterans Forum is partnering with Douglas County government. Veteran Rick Scapiti, who is very involved and was involved in the last kind of refresher remodel, has been very active in helping us work our way through what is a state parks grant for memorials. And there's some very specific things in the grant. It has to be on, you know, public property. It has to be, you know, a whole list of requirements to even apply, including the county itself has to be the applicant, but it has to partner with a nonprofit, and we're using the Douglas County Veterans Forum for that partner. So pretty exciting. Tamara Howell, who you all know is our public information officer, was tasked with filling out the grant application, which was many, many pages. As a matter of fact, before she was eligible to fill out the grant application, she had to go through a training class that the state had to be eligible to even apply for the grant. So she put a lot of time and effort into that, worked with, again, with Rick Scapiti to try to put a good grant application in. There was numerous applications throughout the state, as you can imagine. Our grant was selected, and they call it funded 100%. In other words, the entire project was funded. The state pays for 80%, and the county, working with groups, will get some donations. The county will spend some money, requires the 20% match. But the project itself is around an $80,000 project, so it will include refreshing the memorial itself, the plaques, some new concrete work, new landscaping, and new flagpoles, which are very overdue there.
Now, will any of this get done before we get into the rainy weather, or is this more something for next spring?
So we have our facilities director, David Palmer, who's fantastic, is trying to get it done actually before Veterans Day, which is a lofty goal. Things like the flagpoles are way out when you order them, and several of the vendors that are going to do some of the work, the contractors, are scheduling in to try to get it done. But certainly within a year we'll have it done. But the hope is to try to get the lion's share of it done this construction season.
Now, I know with the Oregon Parks grants, oftentimes different organizations have to make two or three attempts to get this. So the fact that you got this the first time around is a good thing.
Well, and I think that really speaks to all the work that the Veterans Forum, the Rick did, the Tamara did, the veteran and military organizations. And there's things like, and we're going to talk about this Purple Heart Day, but the Purple Heart organization here in Oregon has donated a large Purple Heart Memorial, a big granite memorial that will be placed as part of the remodel. It'll be placed in the memorial. So, you know, it's those type of things, I think, that really elevated our grant application. And it's a beautiful place. Again, it's, you know, of all the locations Douglas County has for a war memorial, it is the premier location on our campus. It's, again, underneath the big elm tree. It's beautiful there. Back in 1971, when they decided to put it there, they made a great decision. The commissioners all along have maintained and kept it as a prominent place in our, you know, on our campus. I'm fortunate my office looks out right over it, so it's very well positioned at the courthouse to serve the purpose of honoring those veterans that have given the ultimate sacrifice.
Now, placement really is a big deal when you go and do a lot of work for this project. Periodically, I've run across things around the community that I didn't know were there, and they're, you know, kind of hidden away, and you think, gosh, this seems worthy of getting more attention. But right in front of the courthouse makes it really accessible, as opposed to even being in one of the county parks or something like that. It'd be real easy for people to get to.
Yeah, and again, that's, I think, probably one of the reasons why it was one of the projects picked. It's certainly really important, you know, to the current Board of Commissioners. Again, past commissioners have done a great job maintaining it. You know, the refresh really is just about a couple of the plaques have some names that need to be added. As time has gone on, the access to information has gotten better. So, again, Rick does this work. He searches Ancestry and other places to get the right names and the right people on those plaques, and you know, we're updating several of them because there's been names added that, you know, that belong on those memorials,
and even sometimes getting spelling and making sure those are correct as well. You mentioned the Purple Heart Day. Talk about the declaration made yesterday.
Yeah, so Douglas County Commissioners, we're again working with the Purple Heart Association here in Oregon. Rick's the regional chair of that. Went ahead and declared Douglas County as a Purple Heart County. We've got a couple cities that have done that. The city of Roseburg has already done that, and Myrtle Creek has done that. And really, I said this at the meeting yesterday, you know, those veterans that have paid the ultimate sacrifice are Purple Heart veterans, but also those that have come home wounded have paid a higher price than just your average veterans. And all veterans certainly, you know, have given a lot to our country. But the ability to honor these veterans that have been wounded in battle or had their life taken was important to Douglas County, to the Board of Commissioners, and we were, you know, very excited and honored to declare Douglas County as a Purple Heart County. That'll include some signage. Again, Roseburg had already done it, and Roseburg City Manager has graciously committed to having a couple signs put up in the, as you're entering Roseburg that indicate that, and we'll likely do similar things around the county.
It's interesting to note this was originally called a Badge of Military Merit by none other than George Washington.
Yeah, so I think, you know, our country, and I would assume other countries, but specifically the United States of America, has really valued and honored those that have stepped up and been in our military. And, you know, through the years, I think the notice, information I have here says 1.8 million Purple Hearts have been awarded to the United States soldiers since the induction. So that's a lot of people that have been hurt defending this country. It's a good thing and a very humbling thing to have those veterans come to our meeting and accept, you know, our proclamation and, you know, say a few words about the importance of this to them. And we're really honored to be able to do that.
As part of this as well, Purple Heart Day, about a week and a half from now.
Yeah, so we've done the proclamation for Purple Heart Day before. And again, I think it's just an acknowledgement and a moment to stop and reflect on, you know, those veterans that have been injured or killed in battle. And I think it's just incredibly important that, you know, we as a government, we as a community, to take a minute and take a day and recognize that.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. Your cue coming up at 4 o'clock on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Former County Commissioner Doug Robertson, now leading the Association of ONC Counties. We'll cover some things with him. County Commissioner Tim Freeman in here now, talking about different county elements of projects and different things you might not know about. One relates to emergency management. And sometimes in recent months, people have asked about a building on Diamond Lake Boulevard that used to be a commercial building that is now a county building. And that's just sort of one piece of all this.
Yeah, so a lot of folks really don't understand the county's role in emergency management until there's an emergency. We have a pretty broad role. We've been very fortunate here in Douglas County for the last 40 years. Wayne Stinson has worked for Douglas County and, you know, for the bulk of that time been the emergency manager. For the longest time, our emergency management department has been delegated to the sheriff to handle and has been work the Board of Commissioners have delegated him to sort of organize and supervise that work. As emergencies have become more common and broader and affect more of the county departments and the community, we've been slowly working towards evolving emergency management to be a county department and the emergency manager to be a department head, continuing working very closely with the sheriff and the sheriff's department, but recognizing there's far more to emergency management than just the sheriff's department. So Wayne has announced that there will be a point that he's going to retire. I keep begging him to stay as long as he will. But we have hired Emily Ring, who was an emergency manager in another county here in Southern Oregon, to start training and working with Wayne. So she's been on staff now for a little while and is starting to, you know, look at those opportunities to evolve emergency management to a full county department level and do more community engagement and a broader sense of emergency management and preparedness. And as part of that, during the COVID pandemic, which was the third once-in-a-lifetime emergency event since I've been a commissioner, the fourth was the Archie Creek fire that occurred at the same time. Of course, we had Snowmageddon and then the shooting at the school, at the college. Each of those four once-in-a-lifetime emergency events taught us that we need to be better prepared. During the COVID emergency, the county was tasked with lots of different things, which included us having supplies and equipment and things that were readily available for emergencies. And it was pretty quick to discover we had nowhere to store those things. The building became available that Color Craft used to be in, which is adjacent to our public works shops. So we were able to purchase that building and property that it was sitting on. And then there was a parking lot behind there that Calhoun's restaurant had used at some point that they were really not using anymore. We were able to purchase that. We were afforded a significant amount of funding to deal with COVID and other aspects of emergency management. And one of the allowable uses of some of that funding was emergency preparedness. So we're able to fund the project of purchasing the building, the remodeling of it to use for an emergency management center with the funding that we received from the American Rescue Act. And we're pretty excited about it being better prepared, having more equipment, being able to respond countywide with mobile equipment and things so that we can, during emergencies, we can do better about helping take care of the citizens of Douglas County.
Now, you've had that building for a while. I'm sure some things that aren't all that obvious have been done inside, but do you have additional remodeling to do in the future?
So, we are in the process of remodeling. It has been functioning as the storage, which is, you know, about 80% of what the building will do. We have a bunch of equipment stored inside of it. We're getting ready to go through and over the next year or so, you'll see some remodeling where it'll become, you know, even better about the things we want to do. We've got a design team put together that are literally right now are going through the design process. There'll be things in it, you know, like bathrooms with showers in case it becomes a shelter. It will be primarily storage, but during an emergency, the whole concept is to have it as flexible as possible to meet whatever needs of emergency that may occur, and which is sort of hard to predict. So again, the idea of having the building very flexible to use for different things is the theme of the remodel.
Now, with the additional land there, do you envision adding to it or putting another building adjacent?
Well, currently we're going to use the footprint of the building that's there. That's what we have the site plan approved through the city for. And as we get it developed to where it's functioning, and you know, as we deal with the potential of future emergencies, if there's additional need, we have space there to do more projects. But the current project includes the footprint of the building as it is now.
And with the county shops right across the street, if there's a need, I suppose, there for even temporarily to move some vehicles or things over there, you're right there.
So that location and the value of that location, for what you just described, you know, a lot of our resources during emergencies is Public Works and the facilities they have there. So again, right behind all that, adjacent to it, is county facilities. Across Rifle Range Road is also the county fleet and all those facilities, search and rescues buildings there. There's a lot of county things happening there all the time, so they can also keep an eye on the building, you know, to make sure it's not vandalized or people are getting into it. So it just was the ideal location, you know, for this type of facility. And it's central to the county. You know, Roseburg is central to Douglas County. It's in the middle, so we can do a lot of things out of that building. And again, we were tasked with funding to do certain things. This is one of the allowable uses.
About 3 minutes left on Inside Douglas County. Let's talk about one more topic, the Criminal Justice Commission. Talk about your role in that.
Yeah, so the state has this Criminal Justice Commission. It's made up of 9 members. 7 of those are appointed by the governor. And I made a mistake. I'd like to call it a rookie mistake, but I've been doing this long enough, I knew better. Last year, when the funding came out for the illegal marijuana enforcement from the state, the funding was skewed and not assigned in a way that I thought was appropriate or fair to the counties that were dealing with the marijuana problem, including Douglas County. So I made a call to the governor's office, and the governor called me back. And as I was complaining to her about the decision of the Criminal Justice Commission and how they allocated these funds, she asked me if I wanted to be on the commission. So I should have known better than to complain that it would likely get me assigned more work. But in an effort to make sure that you know, more rural and more conservative voices are heard, I told her, yeah, I would serve on that commission. So I was appointed last September, and I've spent almost a year now on that commission. And it really is a, you know, a very important commission for the state. The mission is to improve the legitimacy, efficiency and effectiveness of state and local criminal justice systems. So through that, we do a host of things, including locally. The things that are important for us is we help get the formula put together for the allocation of the local public safety coordinating council funding. We eventually, through a lot of process, assign illegal marijuana enforcement funding, and there's a host of other things that we work on in that commission. As a matter of fact, I have that commission meeting at 1 o'clock today that I'll be calling into.
And are you about the only member from a rural county in the state?
No, the members are from all over the state. And again, of the 9 members, the governor appoints 7. Two of them are appointed by the legislature. So we have a couple legislative members that are on there. And at least one of those legislative members is from rural parts of the state too.
Well, and given the marijuana situation that Douglas and Jackson, Josephine counties have dealt with, partly based on climate, partly based on Interstate 5 and location and adjacency to California and the I-5 corridor, probably really important to have someone from this area as a part of that.
Well, I think it is, but it's also amazing how all the counties are struggling with different components of illegal marijuana. Down here, we struggle with the growing because of, like you say, the climate, the amount of land, and those things that are important for growing. But other counties struggle with the sale and distribution. So, you know, if you're an urban county, you may not have the land where they're growing it. But when there is black market and illegal marijuana being sold into your county, you have to deal with all the challenges around that. And quite frankly, it affects the legal side of the world. And those folks now are starting to get involved and have more concern about the illegal. So it's been kind of an interesting thing. I know we could have Rick MacArthur or Dent Commander come in and talk a little bit about the work they've done here. They've done really good work here in Douglas County, but there's good work going on all over the state trying to deal with cartels and black market around illegal marijuana.
All right, County Commissioner Tim Freeman, 1258.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.